Welcome to the Picture House podcast. It's my first time hosting, and as the resident film and football fan in the Picture House team, I couldn't miss the opportunity to talk to you about this wonderful film. I've read you're a Liverpool fan. You must be happy following the Champions League final.
I am a Liverpool fan. It would be an understatement to say I'm quite happy. I'm exhausted. My journey to Madrid meant flying from London to Milan, Milan to Bari, Bari to Rome.
Incredible.
Rome to Madrid.
Specifically.
Way home match. From Madrid. The plane wasn't there on the way home. So then we had to drive to Valencia, which is not around the corner.
Yeah.
And we had to wait for quite a while because there's no pilot, and then flew home from Valencia eventually. And I was in Kiev last year. So I have been through this whole cycle of losing Champions League finals. And that's all I can say. It's
amazing.
You've got to be there. You experience it. You lose. And then if you're lucky, you win.
Senna and Amy really resonated with our audience. And we're looking forward to showing Diego Maradona in our cinemas. Was there a particular moment when you knew Maradona would be your next subject?
This project had an unusually long kind of gestation because I am a football fan. So therefore, I knew about Diego Maradona. Mm-hmm. Unlike the other two films where I was aware of him, but I wasn't necessarily a fan. I read a book about Diego Maradona when I was just after film school, late 90s. Wow. And the book was kind of went into his life and his private life. And I remember thinking, wow, what a story. Wouldn't it be great one day to make a film about him?
Yeah.
And this is at the point when I was still making short films. I'd never made a feature at that point. So that's when I first thought it. And I was thinking of it probably as a fiction film. But it was totally unrealistic. Project goes away. I go off and I made the film The Warrior and I made various other things. Then after I'd made Senna, a producer contacts me called Paul Martin and says, look, I can access some private footage shot on Diego Maradona.
Incredible.
Would you be interested in making this film? Now, this is 2012, around the time of the London Olympics. Now, I just made a film about a Brazilian sporting hero. Mm-hmm. So the idea of going straight into an Argentinian sporting hero, just the timing wasn't right. So I actually said, I don't think so. And I passed, went off and did other things, made Amy. And after I made Amy, this guy, Paul Martin, was still around, and I put him in touch with my producer, James Guerrisse, who produced Senna and Amy. And the two of them went off to Italy to try to see this footage. And they saw it, and they thought it was great. So they tried to do a deal. But to do a deal, they had to do a deal with Diego.
Yeah.
So they had to talk to his manager and lawyer, who Diego happened to be in London around 2015, 2016, because he's a big tennis fan, and he was
really?
There for the Davis Cup final.
Anyway.
So he's in West London. They meet with a lawyer, do a deal. They get this great deal, and they contact me saying, I think we're on. I think they're actually going to let us make it. So that's really when it started, which was 2015, 16. And what I learned was that Diego was a big fan of Ayrton Senna, of the guy, and he'd seen our film and really liked Senna.
Really? Wow.
He then saw that Amy was doing really well and won an Oscar. So he was posting on his websites and his sort of social media sites, you know, this guy won an Oscar for Amy and his next film's about me. And so that was how it all began.
So Diego's a big film fan?
Yes,
it's kind of
he
surprising.
Is. He does like movies. Yeah, he does. He, you know, he's so well read. He's read books. He's Fernando Signorini, who's in our film as his trainer, would give him books to read and try to kind of train his mind, as he says, not just his body. And he is a film buff. Yeah, he watches movies, loves music, dancing, everything.
Really? There's so many, I guess, misconceptions about the man Maradona. I think it was fascinating watching the film and kind of you portraying the two sides. Diego, the sensitive man from the slums of Buenos Aires. Then Maradona, who's kind of who we kind of know in the mass media. Kind of parallels there with Amy, where the misconceptions are there about the drug abuse in particular. Was that something you were really conscious of during filming?
I mean, during the making of it, yeah, what became apparent was, you know, this film will be a bit of Senna because we are talking about a Latin American hero from a country that's, you know, coming out of a dictatorship and they're poor, they've got economic issues going on, and you've got the kid who goes abroad and wins the World Cup and makes them proud. But then you've also got someone who's quite vulnerable and has issues and has left home quite young. So there's an element of a child star. And not really, really well educated, and ends up, you know, having problems which kind of manifest themselves with addiction issues and drugs and drinking. And so there's an element of Amy about him because even though he looks like a tough person, he's actually quite vulnerable and soft and sensitive. But he's Diego Maradona, So there's a whole nother set of issues, and he is a street fighter. He's a guy from a rough place. No matter what you chuck at him, no matter how many times you kick him, he gets up and he goes again. No matter how many times he dies, he comes back again. So there was a different element about him, which was interesting, which is one of the challenges, is that he you know, his story is a constant kind of death and resurrection story.
Yeah.
He keeps coming back. He doesn't stop. And his story's still going. So it was a longer narrative. In terms of years, he's nearly 60 now. And he will do something tomorrow that you're like, how the hell are we going to do with that? So there was a challenge in the film, a conscious decision to make a film about someone who's still alive. And we have to deal with growing up, getting old, losing your gift, losing your, you know, you're a genius at something. And what happens when you lose it? What if you can't walk and you're hobbling and you still want to play football, but you can't?
Yeah.
And you've made all of these cock-ups and mistakes along the way. And you have to deal with your past or not. In his case, sometimes not dealing with mistakes that he's made, you know, that was a different element to this, which Amy and Senna, because they died so tragically young, didn't have to deal with.
Do you see them as a trilogy in some way? They're both all sort of these child kind of geniuses kind of battling with fame.
I mean, when I made Senna, I had no idea I'd ever made another documentary. That was a one-off. And then Amy came along and I felt, actually, there's something there that I want to look into, the her story. And for me, it was a film about London. It's about North London, where I'm from. And it felt like making a story about a local girl. And I had questions that I felt needed to be answered about, why was she allowed to perform? Why was she in that state? Then when Diego Maradona came along, it felt like a trilogy, partly because around 2015, 16, you know, I wasn't really sure what was going on with the industry. You know, who knew that I might be doing a podcast with you? Because at that point, it was all like, you know, these new digital companies are taking over and that's where all the money is. So there was an option to make the film as a series, probably, for some digital format.
Wow.
But I like movies. I'm old school. I really enjoyed the experience of Senna being seen with an audience in a crowd, getting the emotional rush of seeing him driving around Monaco. Mm-hmm. With Amy, the kind of emotion of hearing that music and hearing the audience when, you know, people are crying in a room. So for me, I wanted to make this, for me, the trilogy wasn't just the stories and the characters and a narrative, but also it was the experience of it being experienced in England, in Buenos Aires, in Naples, with an audience in a dark room and seeing how the crowd, how it plays with the crowd. You know, we were in Cannes, we premiered at Cannes, and, you know, the audience were clapping during the screening at certain moments. You don't get that when you watch it at home on TV. I'm also not a particularly good TV watcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the reasons why I think I make these films with images and with audio is I love radio, actually, and I love cinema. And it's almost like a weird mixture of images and audio. I'm not a great TV watcher. I fall asleep. I get hungry. I need a biscuit. I want some chocolate. I wander off. I check my email. I'm on Twitter. And I just feel like, guys, why is it so long? Why can't you just make it shorter? Put the effort in. Why am I having to edit it with my brain? Or, you know, I feel like a lot of shows just go on for way too long. The idea that something gets good after season three, I don't have the energy for that. So I like movies. And so for me, the trilogy was, it was also characters and subject matter and child geniuses, but also cinema. Three films made for the big screen that you watch with an audience in a dark room.
I think they're hugely cinematic. The film has this wonderful opening, and it kind of, you know, I was anticipating a film about Maradona and there's football in it, and because obviously you've made it, I'm anticipating drama, and the opening, so we have this car rushing through the streets of Naples, and it kind of reminded me of the French Connection, that great car chase.
Absolutely, that was the intention.
Really?
Yeah. The Italian Job, French Connection, you know, that idea of like, let's just chuck them in. You know, that was a longer sequence in an earlier cut, but it became quite, let's just whiz through his life and throw the audience in, and you have to just keep up with him because he lived in the high speed, you know. He lived in the fast lane, that is him, and then you only understand where you're going to once you arrive and you realise now the film's going to begin. Now, many people, that would be a movie. Mm-hmm. That's their life. That's just the beginning. That's the intro to Diego Maradona. So, yeah, they, when I make these films, they're all often very movie references that I have in there.
What are the specific film references for this? So there's obviously such a crime element with the Camorra within there.
Yeah, in my mind, I've always thought of Senna as like an all-action movie. Mm-hmm. You know, he's an action hero. Amy's a musical. This is a gangster film. This is Mean Streets or, you know, Who's That Knocking on My Door? These are low life, you know, this could be, I don't know, Eve Vitaloni or something. These are like street people. You know, these are he's a street guy.
Yeah.
And he's hanging around with street people where he feels most comfortable. He happens to be a footballer as well. So there's an element of that. There's a particular moment when he wins the Scudetto, when he wins the title, when he talks about, you know, how he feels and the fact he's finally found a home. Now, there's a particular shot. I had this conversation with Peter Bradshaw because in his review, I think he mentioned Pasolini.
Really?
Or something. Now, there's a particular shot for me when he wins the Scudetto, which is a direct reference. Now, it wasn't Pasolini. For me, it's a reference to Oedipus Rex by Pasolini.
Yes.
Where there's a particular scene where he's backlit. You'd have to know the film when he's...
I don't know, you know.
Oh, it's a great movie. I won't ruin that movie, you know. I won't ruin ours. But there's a particular shot where he's backlit by the sun and it keeps burning out and you see his face and it burns out and you see his face. So for me, there was a kind of subconscious reference to Oedipus Rex by Pasolini. There's another shot in the film where Diego is sitting there contemplating his life. That's how I read it. The mistakes that he's made, which is like Long Good Friday shot for me.
Yeah.
When he arrives first in the stadium, that's Gladiator. You know, he walks underneath there and he's like the gladiator going into battle in the Colosseum. So there's all a lot of filmy references for me in the movie, which are kind of hidden, not jokes, but they're kind of there to create a particular emotion.
It certainly plays like a crime thriller, a football documentary, this like lots of threads to this film. Did you spend much time with Maradona during the process?
So part of the deal with making a film is that the producers cut an agreement where I had 3 interviews with him over the kind of making of the film, each being about 3 hours in length. So I had 9 hours, which they thought was a lot. And I thought, that's nothing. You know, I'm used to doing interviews with people. I'll ask him for 10 minutes, but I know secretly if I'm going to be there for 5 hours, actually, once I get them talking. So it's normal for me to do 5-hour interviews knowing it's the last 15 minutes that I'm going to use. There'll
be
something. Yeah. A lot of it is just going through the process to get them to forget that they're talking and understanding. It's research. It's all useful and research, but I'm not going to jump in with certain heavy questions. But with Diego, it wasn't possible. A 3-hour interview, I never was going to get 3 hours with him. Just getting to meet him was so complicated. And by the time I'd meet him, his energy levels, weirdly enough, would tail off after about 90 minutes.
Really?
Maybe years of training. Who knows? I never thought about it, but that's kind of... He would give you 90 minutes and then...
90 minutes of everything.
And then it's kind of over. He gets tired. He gets bored. You know, his speech isn't necessarily clear. And he's just like, he wants to go. He's had enough. So I had to find a different way of working, but it's difficult to cut straight to the chase. So I had to kind of create a strategy over... these 3 interviews that I was going to do over years. It may be that I meet him. I'm not going to see him again for 6 to 9 months. He lives in Dubai.
I'm
editing in Clerkenwell. The film takes place in Naples and all of the kind of voices are in Buenos Aires. And this is a fairly low budget documentary. You know, it's not a big $100 million feature film. So it's not easier to keep flying off to Buenos Aires or to Dubai or to Naples. It was tricky. It was really tricky. So I had to kind of gauge my time with him. First interview, really awkward, had 5 minutes. We were in Dubai for 5 days. I got 5 minutes with him.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And I thought, maybe this is going to be a bit more like Senna and Amy. Maybe I'm actually going to make this film where I don't have someone to interview. Just go off and make the film. When I'm ready, I'll show it to him or I'll ask him about the key moments, which is essentially how it was made.
I've read that there's over 500 hours of unseen footage from the Maradona archive. Is that correct?
I don't know who came up with that number, and okay. I'm pretty sure whoever did come up with that number never actually counted. But it's one of those things that, you know, someone's put in a press release, and I would have said, you know, 472. I would never have rounded it up to 500. I know that I've seen thousands of hours. I don't know how much came from Diego Maradona's. Now, and I need to explain this. I think people got a misconception that he personally handed it to us. Somebody wanted to make a film about Diego Maradona in the early 80s. His first agent hired 2 cameramen to film Diego on the pitch, off the pitch, all over the place.
Really?
The film was never made. It's unfinished. We finished it in 2019. The tapes, because they're probably the cameramen were never paid. So the tapes ended up somewhere in Buenos Aires with the cameraman. He kept them. He couldn't use them because he didn't have Diego's permission. The only reason we could use them is we did a deal with the cameraman and with Diego Maradona's lawyer. So we owned his image rights. We were able to get access to footage. But they only had half the tapes. The other half of the tapes were being kept by his ex-wife. Diego and his ex-wife do not get along. In Buenos Aires, in a trunk, and had been locked up in this trunk for 30 years. And the tapes were disintegrating.
Really?
So we took a machine, a U-matic machine, over to Buenos Aires, looked at the tapes. They were all sticking together. I'm like, even if you don't give them to me, even if you don't speak to me, this is history. Let me just digitize them
and
give you back
this.
The files, right? And then we can worry about it. And that's what we were able to do, digitize them, give them back the files, and then do a deal, do an interview with Claudia, his ex-wife, get her in the film, and then do a deal to the material. And so a lot of this material has never been seen. But, it's hundreds of hours. I have no idea how much it is. Nowadays, no one counts the hours or minutes. It's gigabytes. And it's a lot of gigabytes.
Well, from those hundreds of gigabytes...
Terabytes.
You've made a wonderful film. Diego Maradona is released in the UK on Friday the 14th of June and showing widely at Picture House. Are you looking forward to the release?
You know, you make these films, you struggle, you have a really hard time. I've had a really amazing experience of going to Cannes. Journalists have now seen it. I'm talking to people who are reviewing it. But, you know, the real deal is showing it to an audience. And I think that's the exciting moment. The minute the audience see it, you kind of hand it over. It's not your film anymore. It's their film. I hope it goes down well. I think people are in for a ride. Love him or hate him, he you have an opinion, you know. And I'm hoping the film will kind of give you a new insight into this character, who's a pretty amazing person, really.
It's a fascinating story, a really great film. We're opening Bromley Picture House this week. We're looking forward to seeing you there for a Q&A. Thanks so much for talking to us, and best of luck with the release.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.